Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the episode called Sales Hero Advice from Jill DeWitt.
You pause like you forgot. This is a big show.
It occurred to me, so I wrote this title, but it occurred to me that everybody that's really successful in this, and I really think anything, has some version of, some sales capacity that's extraordinary. And I don't mean used car salesman, high pressure. That's not what we're talking about here at all. That's all gone. You know, I don't know.
It better be.
If you're over 65, you might still sell that way. But that was gone 20 years ago. Sales is a long process. And Jill's, going to explain it to us. Mm-hmm. It's not something where you say, hey, I've got a piece of land. You should really buy it. It's the best one in the market. Can I have your credit card number, please? That's not sales. That's just dumb. And it's annoying.
That's hilarious.
And everybody hates it.
I love your the way you describe it and how you see it is funny.
Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Travis asks, no doubt this has been addressed in the forums, but I wouldn't know what to search. Short question. What do you guys do when someone rejects your offer because of the offer price? But then they say they have other properties they want to sell that are way outside your target market. If they accepted the offer, awesome. I'll look at it all day. But they've rejected. Is it even worth my time? I know I, at least, and probably most of us have the situation on every mailer. So here's in quote. The seller says, I do not want to sell my property for that price. You clearly don't know this market or what you're doing. I do, however, have five other lots in X county or X state, and of course somewhere that I did mail, and that I'd be interested in selling. Contact me if you're interested. Isn't that the funniest thing?
Yeah.
I totally agree. So how do you guys handle these? Do you think it's a waste of time to go and appraise other properties in counties and states that you've never looked at, that they've rejected your initial offer? Usually it's because of your offer price on the property you mailed about. I get tons of these, and I'm sure many are deals, but my logic is that if they were insulted by your offer price on this lot, then they will also want retail offer on any other lots they own, and thus would not be worth the look.
Makes sense to me.
Yep. TDLR. What does that mean?
TLDR. I don't know what that means either.
Okay.
Probably because of our age.
Maybe. If they reject your initial offer price but want to sell their lots elsewhere, then they're probably not motivated seller, and it could be great. It could be a waste of time to go and appraise their properties. Agreed? Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Agreed. You know, and that's it. It's something shiny. You don't want to get caught up in it. If it's an area that you know, if they said I had XYZ and you're like, oh, shucks. If there was something special, unique, and you really knew the area, I would maybe consider it. But based on what you're telling me right now, they didn't like your offer on this one and they want to sell these other ones. It's almost like, too, usually they're throwing out the junk kind of thing. And they want to keep the good ones. Maybe that's what you found. So I wouldn't really waste my time.
At any given time, all of us here at Land Academy and House Academy have a database, some form of a CRM, of all the deals we're working on. And we personally constantly have two or three or eight deals sitting in the CRM that are in the situation where we sent an offer, the person called back, said, that offer doesn't work. I go look it up, or our staff inputs all the fields in the CRM. We use Airtable. And it's fantastic. Like, the property's like, oh, I want to buy this property really bad, but we can't get any movement on the seller. So it just sits there and never really kind of moves forward. And then this is what's going to happen in this transaction. So you have to decide how you're going to manage it. That's how we manage it. And they just kind of sit there, and every 30 days or so, or maybe 2 weeks, my acquisition assistant sends him a little note or calls him and says, hey, you know, we sent you an offer. Do you want to counter offer it? Yeah, I want to sell it, but not at that price. Okay, well, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. And it just sits there, and eventually nothing happens.
Exactly. Until they come up with a number.
Yeah, and I can't remember where something positive, like, they didn't wake up 6 months from now. They're not going to wake up 6 months from now and say, you know, I thought about it, and I'm actually probably going to sell you my property.
We have had that happen, though.
Yeah, but they're not
in that,
not with this situation.
Yeah, there's a few. So, yeah, whatever. And when this person says, I hate the offer, the only thing I would consider, if you want to do it, you could reach out to them and say, look, clearly you don't want to sell this one at my price. Either you don't want to sell it or not at my price. Which is it? Got to find that out first. Yeah. If they do want to sell it, not your price, say, fine. What is the price? And by the way, what is the price that you would accept on this one? And, you know, keeping in mind who I am, what I do. And then we're not going to do top dollar retail. We're not going to reset the market on this. So, and if you want me to review those other ones, you know, give me a price for all those too. I'll look at it. And that would be the only thing I would consider. And then I would give them, you know, I'd either come back and say, yeah, yes, it's going to work, or have a nice life.
You know, if we brought this topic up in the advanced group, I can tell you exactly how everybody in the advanced group would respond. It would involve a middle finger.
Yeah.
And then they would say, just send out more mail.
Exactly.
Why screw around with this guy?
This is true. I concur.
What you want is someone to pick up the phone and say, oh my gosh, thank you for sending this offer.
And I have three more. Do you want these too?
Yeah. You know, you're solving a bunch of problems for me. It's the new year. Right. I wanted to sell these properties anyway. You just saved me a ton of time. When can we close?
Yep.
That's what you want. Not the dancing around. Today's topic, sales hero advice from Jill DeWitt. This is the meat of the show. I have to tell you, I can't wait to hear this. I love when you talk about sales.
Aww.
I love it. Every single time I turn around in all of these companies that we have, I don't care if it's Land Academy, House Academy, Parcel Facts, Neighbor Scoop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going into the new year here with some new, we just bought another company. And every time I turn around, I am shocked and amazed. I'm not trying to get you here.
I understand.
I'm telling you the truth. Shocked and amazed at your sales abilities and thank the numbers you. that you were born to do this.
Thank you.
So please share with us all, me included. I'm gonna take a drink of water and listen.
I'm gonna
listen
give
to this show.
Three tips today, but I want to go on record and saying too that based on our survey that we did with all of our members earlier in December, we got the results back. This is something that everybody wants to know more about. So I'm really going to develop, and it's going to be free to members. Not sure about, I'll do something for the general public if they want to get in on it too. It won't be free, but I'm going to do a full on sales webinar. I don't know if I'm going to do a program out of it. I'm not sure, but I'm going to do something because there were two things that came up at our survey that people said, gosh, if I could have a little more help with it. One was pricing, which is all you.
I'll handle that.
Uh-huh. And one is sales is all me. And I'm going to do this in the first quarter this year. But so you don't have to wait. I'm going to give you three things that I do on every call or every interaction to help you out right now. So number one, quickly, and I mean quickly, determine if what you're selling is a good fit for that buyer. If someone calls up and they're looking for a cabin property with trees and easy access, and gosh, if power's right there, that's even better. Don't go try to sell them something in the desert. Don't try to talk them into something six states over that has no trees just because it's cheap. You know, you need to really quickly find out exactly what they want. And if you have it, great. And if you don't, move on. Because if you don't, you sit there and spend an hour trying to talk them to something they don't want, and heaven forbid, you're so good enough, you get them to buy something, guess what? You're going to be doing a refund and undoing this in days or weeks or months when they wake up and go, that's not what I wanted at all. Why did that guy talk me into this and my family? Here we are standing here. You don't want to do that. Number two. You know, if it is, you find out it's a good fit, it's perfect for what they want, just point out the reasons why. You know, you said you wanted trees, you love this, and yeah, you know what, that lot that you picked out, that's exactly what it is. I haven't stood on it, but hey, you want to look at it with me together on online, or have you looked at the pictures? Do you know how to drop in the GPS coordinates in Google Earth and really get a feel for it? Yeah, you see those are power lines right there. This is, and you, yeah, that is the road. You know, point out what it is and how it really does check all their boxes once you determine that it's a good fit. You like where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, this is kind of, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh, okay, at the end of this.
Because I want to know what the secret is. Because you have some kind of sixth Jedi sense.
Well, here's part, and then, you got to figure it out quickly. It goes back to number one. You gotta listen. So many people don't listen to what people are saying. I mean, that's what I think is there's two things, number one and number three. I'll get to number three, which is be authentic, be real, do not be pushy, talk to them like it's your family. Not my family, because that would be different. Your family. So
not this family. She means they're crazy people.
Yeah, not my family.
The DeWitts.
Yeah, my family's a little out there. So you're just kidding. But talk to him like it's your family. It's your mom. What if your mom, think of your mom calling you, fell in love with this property online. She wants a little cabin where she can oil paint, you know, the pretty trees, you know, something like that. Talk to her like, you know, you either have it or you don't. Be real and then help her out.
Here's my take on sales. Someone's going to buy something from you. I don't care what it is. If they find you, not you find them. So I grew up, you know, I had a full commission real estate job as a commercial real estate broker when I left college. And if you're older, you've experienced this. You know, my supervisor slammed a phone book down on my desk and said, start making calls. And that's what sales was back then. I believe they have to find you. This is the 21st century, and the way the internet works and the way advertising is, we don't have a sales team here at Land Academy or House Academy or any of these companies. There's not a single salesperson that works for us. What we do is provide content like this and provide information. So someone's going to buy property from you because they found it on the MLS, if you listed it there. They found it on your website, or you have a show like this, or there's something that you're doing to reach them. Mm-hmm. But they need to first say, I already wanted a property in Tennessee, and I was looking for it anyway. Yep. You know, if you talk to any people who sell cars, you have to, when you walk into a dealership, you have to already have kind of made your mind up and done That's all the research true. That you actually want to buy a Ford pickup truck.
You wouldn't be standing there.
So now, then it's just the fulfillment process, the price maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you want to drive it, see if it is that good that you read about.
Maybe you don't want an F-150 after all. You want, you know, a Ranger or a Raptor or whatever they have now. Mm-hmm. So it all starts with you on the internet as a purchaser. And then you just have to kind of fulfill that need. And that's where I think the magic happens with you. Because if someone is on the fence and Jill gets a hold of them, good luck. They're buying it.
Well, I think it's because I talk to them real and I tell them, you're like, oh, you know, I'm not going to talk them into something they don't want. And I don't want them to feel uncomfortable about this. So I'll tell them, you know, this is the price. This is why it's great. You know, it's not hard when you just take a step back and do it like that. I don't really think about it selling. So that's the whole thing, too. I don't think when I do I'm selling, I'm putting this product with the right person. That's it. And making them see this is exactly what you said. And here you go.
So every month, Jill and I have sales goals, and they've always been tentative. You know, we don't have this hard and fast, you have to, for all these companies. And what I've found over the years is that there's a lot of work that goes on up front in companies, whether you're buying it or starting it. And buying and selling land or houses is no different. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of upfront work. You have to get organized. You need to find, you know, get an email address and all that stuff. But once that's in motion and you're setting sales goals, you know, you have to follow through and really divide up your month and be proactive about it. So that's really where I think the magic is with you, because you'll get to the, you know, we have sales goals for land and houses.
I have to turn up the volume. I'll turn up the volume if I'm not hitting my numbers that month. I know I got to work double time.
Here's a great example, and you know, cut me off here because I'm an observer here.
Okay, thank you.
We had a property that we bought. It was a house, and it was just sitting on the market. It was priced perfectly. The house was great. It showed well. There were a lot of people looking at it. Wasn't selling. So what did you do?
I got on the phone.
Right.
I got on the phone.
This is what people need
to hear. And I reached out to
people need to hear this.
All the last people that walked in and saw it and expressed interest, but they didn't pull the trigger. I got on the phone and found out why. What was it? And then I found it was like second call. I got the person. They were ready.
So what she did is she worked it. She took the resources that were available. She didn't sit around and say, why the heck isn't this selling?
Right.
She got on the phone.
I did it.
Every single person that's in our advanced group, yeah, before I wrote this title, this is really why I wrote this title, is very, very aggressive on the phone.
Right.
And I don't mean used car sales aggressive. I mean, we're going to sell this property this month.
That's it. Pretty much what I said. I'm going down the list. You're number two on the list. I'm here to get this. I want to get this off my books. Are you in or are you out? And then it's like, oh, now there's a little bit of a time crunch. So that's true. You need to give them some sort of call to action. Like, hey, I'm moving down the list. If you're not interested, that's fine. I get it. But I just want to let you know I'm ready to wheel and deal today kind of thing. And they're like, oh, okay, I really did like it. Would you do this? And then, by the way, the answer was yes. Let's make it happen. And that's what we did. I was going to say something along those lines too about listening to, you can tell tire kickers and you can tell people that are ready. So, and you, as you go along further, you'll get better at this. You'll realize the people that ask the dumb questions that are just way out there versus the people that are serious. And if they are serious, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what? And this is where people, I think, get freaked out by this, and I'm not afraid of it. Saying, look, Stephen, we've been talking about this 3 days straight. You are not going away. I can tell you want this dumb property. Let's do this right now.
What's it going to take?
Let's just do it. And he's going to go, you know what? You're right. Let's do it. Like, yeah, we could keep talking about it. And while we keep talking about it, somebody else could buy it. Or I could sell it to you right now. We can be done. You could be happy. You could be planning your next fishing trip on that property.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep, you're right. So sometimes people just, they need that little push. And don't be afraid to ask for the business and just make it happen.
I can tell when I walk into Jill's office if she's talking to a customer, and it might be a Land Academy member or a person that might be a real estate agent that wants to buy a house or a piece of land that we have listed on the MLS. I can tell because how she speaks, and I walk in and I walk back out because I don't want to mess with that. How she speaks, how she presents herself, you just immediately want to be her friend. You know, you want to hear, if she calls, people pick up the phone because they want to talk to her. And so, in fact, when we started buying and selling land together a long time ago, I had to sit her down and say, you know, you just spent 2 hours on the phone with somebody. I don't think they're going to buy anything. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. So not that I should even really ever have any comment about how she does her job, but, you know, how can you not buy something from her? And so there's some people in our group that we regularly do transactions with. And they're almost always have somebody involved just like Jill. So what I'm really saying here is if you're a person who wants to sit in the dark on the computer and buy land, but you don't know what to do, how to sell it, you got to find somebody who's going to do that. You know, you have to get somebody in your life, might be another member, might be a family member, but you have to. All you're going to do is be really frustrated. If you're like, you know, a data person like me, you have to align yourself with somebody like Jill. And I can sell. You know, I'm in front of the camera here, 1,500 units now, right, almost. I just don't like it. And that's another thing. If you're going to do some stuff over and over and over again that you don't like, you're just going to be a miserable person. So I did this for a long time without Jill. And very successfully. Mm-hmm. And when she came on, everything doubled overnight. I'm sure it's times four now.
It really helps too to really, you better love what you do and love what you're selling. I try to go back and remember what got us excited about that property when we bought it. We keep notes on that and we put it in the posting. So go back and open up the posting and be staring at the picture when you're talking to this person so you can remember, go, oh yeah, you know what? I remember seeing that creek too. I thought that was gorgeous. That's one of the reasons why we bought the dumb thing. And that's going to translate to that person. They will love it.
So I'm going to end on this. Jill and I do a lot of deal funding for land specifically. Probably 50 to 60% of the time, the person that brought us a deal isn't performing. We love the transaction. The person's got transaction history, or maybe they do, maybe they don't. Usually it's an extraordinary transaction, which is why we get involved, and we fund it, and we sit and wait. And, you know, this is the end of the year, and I looked back on we made a lot of money this year in deal funding, mm-hmm, with people, you know, sharing the proceeds. At least 50% of the time, probably more. Actually, I'm being nice right now. It's probably 70% of the time. Jill and I looked at each other a month after we took the deal on, and we say, why the hell isn't this sold? And Jill has to step in and go sell the property and close the deal. And so that's very frustrating for us. Deal funding is not, hey, let's get Jack and Jill and partner deals and shove a deal at them. Get them to spend all the money, 100% of the proceeds and the closing costs.
And just let it sit there. What do, let it ride.
What do I have to lose?
Yeah.
I don't have anything to lose. I didn't put any money in. I don't care. I'm going to move on.
Thank you for venting.
It's a big, huge issue. And I love deal funding. We make a lot of money. And we also make other people a lot of money, but it's not being used the way that it should.
Okay. Not sure how we got on this topic right now.
Well, it's you.
Okay.
Did you come in and save everything?
Oh, thank you.
From a sales standpoint.
So yeah, you got to have energy too.
Yeah.
You got to be motivated. You got to have energy because it can get tiring. It can weigh on you. And these are all, I'm making notes right now because I'm going to add all this to the, I'm going to really do a deep dive on this stuff when I get into the sales thing. It might be a couple segment educational thing, but it'll be good.
Yep.
We'll get you there.
Are you going to close there?
I think I will. Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show. And don't fret, Tuesdays and Thursdays, zip on over to the House Academy Show. We are there.
Tomorrow, the episode on the House Academy Show is called The Highs and Lows of Our Decade. It's 2020 in a couple of days.
I agree. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. What is this? Monday the 29th. It's the lull between Christmas and New Year's. What day is it? It is the 29th. Is it the 29th? Yep, I have to look. Oh, it's the 30th, actually. I'm all confused. See how confusing
this
is?
We just got back from, like, everybody.
Yeah, traveling.
And there's inconsistent work hours and probably too much partying and too much eating, at least for us.
Snow delays, weather delays, but it was good. We had a good Christmas. We hope you did also. I am totally lost on my
script. The Land Academy Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listener. I'll save you.
Thank you.
Wherever you're listening or watching, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property. You're cracking me up.
I know.
You're Johnny on the spot usually.
I know.
You okay?
Yeah.